I'm Mark Purcell, and this is the Book Club at 91.7. Glad to have you along on this Saturday morning. A word to the very sensitive. We are going to be discussing a certain word that many people may find profane and offensive here, but we'll try to keep it as clean as possible as I speak with Mark Peters about his new book, BS, A Lexicon. Of course, the title is actually the full compound word that begins with bull, but we'll go beyond that. It looks at a collection of more than 200 words and phrases that signify BS. Some you will recognize, some very obscure, many filthy and euphemistic. Mark Peters, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks a lot for having me here.
What set you on the path? Well, in the beginning of the book, you say what set you on the path to writing BS, a lexicon, was a conference you were at, and as you were exploring words, you realized that there are a lot of words that mean BS. How did you begin this lexicon, and who was responsible for it?
Well, I have to fall on that grenade. I am responsible. but I think that actually the true responsibility would lie with just the endless creativity of everybody over the years in English. I sort of came across, I've been writing words about language for years, about euphemism, slang, obscenity sometimes, etymology, etc. And while I was writing about other word-related topics, I would occasionally come across another word that meant something like BS or nonsense, and think, that's interesting. I've never heard that one before. and of course, I was aware of, like, there are a bunch, about a dozen or so synonyms that are pretty well known, like malarkey, bunk, mumbo jumbo, poppycock, words like that. And aside from their meaning, the thing I would say they all have in common is they're kind of awesome. They're just fun. They're a lot of them are just really earthy. That's why actually I don't find it that troublesome to avoid saying the naughty words in this discussion, because the ones that aren't naughty are actually, I think, even more satisfying and fun.
They are. When you do this lexicon alphabetically, and so right near the front, there's Acomoracus. Now, you go a little deeper in, there's Felgercarb, and then there's, you mentioned Poppycock and Chazbot and Flubdub, and you're right. But it seems that, and this is really only, you have 200 words or so in here, and this isn't a full lexicon, correct?
No, it's not full. I hope it's got all or nearly all of the ones that most people would have heard of, plus a lot of obscurities. To do a full thing, I mean, I think, I don't know. It's always hard to come up with an exact number of how many words there are for anything, or how many words there are, period.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that if I had to, and I would love to do this, by the way, if anyone's listening can make that happen, I'd love to do a calendar of this topic, and I think I could come up with enough to do a calendar. So 365, I think that would be feasible. Digging deep into sort of regional lexicons, like that's where some terms like flubdub, which I love, and donkey dust, I believe, is a very euphemistic regional term. When you kind of get into these little nooks and crannies of English, you'll find just whole groups of words that are either you haven't heard them because they're really old, or they just don't say that where you're from, but they're out there. And, thank goodness for the various lexicographers who have preserved a lot of this stuff. It's just a lot of really wonderful, just fun terms.
Speaking with Mark Peters about his book, BS, A Lexicon. You can learn more at our website, wvxu.org. And this really is, you talk about the age of some of these words, some of them being very old. I was surprised as I was reading BS, a lexicon, that the word BS itself is relatively modern compared to many of the other terms in your book.
Yes, that that surprised me a little bit, too. That was only found since earlier in the 20th century. What also surprised me is that bull, having a sense of BS, is actually much older than BS as a word.
Hmm.
There are senses of bull, meaning things like pranks and various sorts of untrustworthy statements, going all the way back to the 1600s, that have much more than a whiff of BS about them. So the bull actually came before the BS, which kind of surprised me, because bull, I feel like gut instinct, oh, bull seems like a euphemism of BS. But actually, it's kind of the father of this group of words, and it's much older. I find that to be one of the most interesting things about doing this. I feel a little bit like I imagine zoologists and biologists who study the fossil record of animals. Looking at the history of words is really similar, because it's word history is kind of all about evolution too. Words, you know, words don't really emerge or catch on because there's some central word agency that makes it so. You know, Congress doesn't pass the new words of the year that we have to use so far, fortunately. It just kind of happens over time by the collective consensus of everybody. So getting back into the history of it, there's always surprises, and but one of the things that is kind of hard about that is it makes it hard to find the definitive origin of a lot of words, because you think, oh, that's the earliest example. But then, oh, gee, I just found another older one than that, and it makes you rethink everything. So finding definite origins of words is tough, but sometimes there's a pretty strong origin for words. Can I tell you one of my favorite word origins in there?
Sure, sure.
I really like the group of words. This is kind of a little cluster of BS-ish meanings. Four-flusher and four-flushing, which actually it's not that rare, but it had been new to me when I did this research. I'd never really come across four-flushing.
Hmm.
But that comes from poker, which I'm not super familiar with either, but I do know that to have a flush, you need all five parts of it. So if you only have four of the cards in a flush, basically you don't have anything. But if you are still calling and raising, basically bluffing, with a four-card flush, then you're four-flushing. So you're full of it. So that, from poker, became a term for various kinds of bluffing and BSing and just being full of hot air.
Yeah.
It's rare when you come up with an origin that's that good.
Well, I was going to say, but I did notice that the illustration that goes along with four-flusher here in BS a lexicon actually did follow down the track my dirty mind took it and chose a commode. So, I didn't think about poker when I first saw the word.
And that is another reason why that word is tremendous, because it kind of has that additional meaning that, as you know, I also, in my words in the book, I took full advantage of that potential joke. that's just a beautiful term, and it actually does have a definite origin, which is nice. By the way, the cartoons in the book, is it a shameless plug if it's sort of for someone else?
Oh, no, I was about to ask you about Drew.
The cartoons? Oh, I'm going to do a double plug. He's going to love me for this. The cartoons are by Drew Dernovich, who is a cartoonist for The New Yorker, who is just wonderfully distinctive style. I'm sure you'd recognize it if you've seen him before. He has about 40 to 50 beautiful cartoons in the book. Also, Drew has a children's book that just came out last week called It's Not Easy Being the Number 3. So you're welcome, Drew. Sorry about that, but and I'll tell you too, writing the book was fun, but a lot of work. Seeing Drew's cartoons come in every so often, you know, as I'm writing, was made the whole thing so much more of a pleasure. It was just so nice to, you know, get some cartoons to supplement it and sort of feel like I wasn't all by myself on Malarkey Island.
You know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Mark Peters, he's the author of BS, A Lexicon. It features cartoonist Drew Dernovich's work as well. You can learn more about it at our website, WVXU.org. And, you know, some of the words have fascinating origins. Well, four flusher there. There was one, Clem Jamfrey was another one that I kind of liked. But I found one that seems to be oh so appropriate for this time with the political races going on and has an interesting link. Let's talk about Trumpery.
Well, yes. Well, that's another one that we can reinterpret just like more flusher. And a lot of that's right. A lot of that, yes, that is. Well, that, you know, that word, believe it or not, was not invented by Mr. Trump.
No, it wasn't.
It was not.
And it's been around a long time. What about the 1400s or something is when that Trumpery came about?
Yes, yes. It's it originally, the sense was more to do with things that are a little woo-woo or mystical, that kind of, I guess you could say, sort of hocus-pocus sort of BS. Also, the meaning has often had to do with things that are very, very tiny and small and insignificant. Like, what is that? A little bit of, that's just Trumpery. That's nothing. And of course, actually, if I ever do another edition, I think I may have to add another page on the meaning that's been used very recently for a certain presidential candidate. I'm not sure which one it could be, but that is actually a very interesting thing too. That these words, you know, they have this history that it can be challenging to delve into sometime, and it's very interesting and rewarding to do so. But then they keep changing, you know, and it just so happens. Oh, Trumpery. One seems to be coming up with a phenomenal amount of Trumpery, historic levels perhaps. And so the words just fit together like a glove. And I haven't even given that as much thought as I should. You know, that's really, that could really change the course of that word from here on out.
I'd say so. Well, and there was another one because that, you know, I kind of brought that into pop culture there, but there was another one that I wasn't familiar with when it came to the lexicon of BS, and that's Ben Cartwright, one of the brothers on Bonanza. That was one I hadn't heard before, Mark.
Well, I can't blame you because that is super obscurity.
Okay.
But that one is an example of British rhyming slang where, like, you would take to be very innocent terms, too. Like, instead of saying I'm alone, you could say, I'm Jake Jones. So taking something that rhymes with the word to be a kind of slang or code. Ben Cartwright, actually, if I recall, he was not a character who was very full of it. He was straightforward and true.
That's right. Ben was pretty straightforward, yeah.
He was a good dude. But the last syllable of his name rhymes with the English pronunciation of the word we can't say on this show.
Mm-hmm.
If you catch my drift.
Yeah. The second
so
half of BS is.
Yes. And the second half of Cartwright. So in British slang, that became a term for a big load of Ben Cartwright.
Yes.
And no offense to Ben or Lauren Green. But just rhyme. That's how some of these word developments happen, too. Also, I think these things should inspire people. I've been meaning to sort of instigate some of this myself, is that there's no reason that people can't come up with more words for BS. Often it's easy to kind of clue people into the meaning. If you start off with sort of a phrase that is such a big load of almost anything you say after that.
Yes.
People will get the meaning that it's, or even a bunch too, for some reason. That's a bunch of, that's a load of. Bunch and load are probably the, you know, if there was a metric system for BS, those would be the technical measurements. BS comes by a bunch or by a load.
So many terms in here, it's hard to pick, but you sure added to my vocabulary, and I may be even less offensive than I have been in the past when it comes to the profanity. But thank you for your time and all the new words, Mark.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Mark Peters. His book is BS, A Lexicon, illustrated by Drew Dernovich, a New Yorker cartoonist. You can learn more about the book and Mark's work at our website, wvxu.org. And that is no prattle. This is the Book Club at 91.7.